Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. It's page 1300 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1300. We'll be reading verses 16, 17, and 18. Then we'll turn to one other verse of Scripture. But stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Beginning with verse 16, we'll read in unison verses 16, 17, and 18. The 17th verse is the text verse. Let's read, please. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Page 1260 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read one verse together, or rather two, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Let's read them together, please. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. And Father, you have something very special for us today. Something life-changing for some folks here. And something that will be helpful and of strength to all who are here. How we pray for the ministering of thy Spirit, the power of him who came to indwell us. We pray for thy blessing upon our preacher. Thou wouldst especially use him and bless him today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, you have no right to remember your sins. You have no right to remember your sins. I think you'll find it fits in with the Easter message as we come a little later in the message. Let me say that, as I almost always do on the first Sunday of the morning of the month, we have the Lord's Supper. I'm starting preaching, maybe 5 to 10 minutes later than usual. I assure you that I'll be finished preaching not a minute later than 12:10. I do not believe I'll go that long, but I will not. I'll guarantee you by 12:10 I'll be finished. I'll also guarantee you by 12:30, as always, we will have dismissed the service. We dismiss the service by 12:30 always, and even though it's the Lord's Supper day, let me assure you, you'll not have to wonder how long is that guy going to go. I saw a sign of the day a fellow had out in front of a church. Preacher had been preaching for an hour and a half, and they're demonstrating out in front, free the hostages. So I assure you that nobody will have a sign out in front saying free the hostages about 1 o'clock today, because I will free you by 12:30, and I will not be preaching to you after 12:10. I want to speak on the subject, you have no right to remember your sins. The apostle reminded us in Hebrews 10:17 that God will remember our sins no more. And then in Philippians 3:13, we read a while ago, we're to forget those things which are behind us and press forward to the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching. Thank you for the message of the preaching. Thank you for the truth we're going to discuss this morning. And do thou rejoice us in the Lord because of this blessed truth. And I pray that those who are not under the canopy of this message shall come neath the pavilion of the grace of God today on this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. A few months ago, a few weeks ago, a very fine man came to my office for an appointment, he and his lovely wife, and he proceeded to tell me of something that he had done when he was about 10 years old. And it was haunting him, literally haunting him. And I tried to convince him that God did not know it, and he ought to quit reminding God about it. And I tried to remind him, that God had forgotten his sin. And I said, you have no right to remember it either. There are people in this room this morning with the hundreds who are living a defeated Christian life because you have not forgotten your sins. You have no right to remember your sins. I had talked to a little lady not long ago. She'd lived the life of the harlot, and she said, Brother Hiles, if I could just be pure. She said, I've lost my purity. I said, oh, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. No. As far as God's concerned, if you're God's child, you're still pure. You're pure now, right now. God has not recorded your sin, as you've heard me say over and over and over again. Now, I want to say three things this morning about this. First is, concerning remembering your sins, first is, God doesn't. Second is, I don't. And third is, you shouldn't. The first place, God does not remember your sins. I love the word for the word forgotten in the Bible. And I almost entitled this message this morning, Our Ignorant God, but I was just a little afraid to do it. I was afraid that thunder would have been lightning a while ago instead of thunder. But I almost entitled the message, Our Ignorant God. Now, God is omniscient, which means God knows everything, except there's one thing about which God is ignorant. Did you know the Bible, when it says God has forgotten our sins, the word in the Greek is the word ignorant? God is ignorant concerning our sins. Also, the word is unaware. God is unaware concerning our sins. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? Did you hear that if you're a child of the King this morning, if your name is written in heaven, did you hear what I said? God has forgotten every sin of your life. And folks who never have received Christ, unsaved folks who are not Christians this morning, did you hear that good news? Did you know that every sin of your life can be erased from God's record in heaven, but better than that, erased from God's memory this morning? God, if you will come to Christ today, receiving Him by faith as your Savior, God will forget your sins. God will become unaware of your sins. And God will become ignorant, the Bible says, of your sins. You remember that awful night when you built some bridges you'd like to burn? Do you remember it? God doesn't. Do you remember the time you put the marijuana to your lips? Do you remember the time when you were tempted and you put the needle to your arm? You remember that? God doesn't. Do you remember that time when you lifted the bottle to your lips? You thought you'd never drink any kind of intoxicating beverages. Do you remember that night that you put the bottle to your lips and did that which you thought you'd never do? Remember that? God doesn't. You remember that time you took something that wasn't yours? I have never heard in all of my life the complexity and intricacies of sin like I've heard this week. I've never heard the intricacies, involvements of sin like I've heard this week. But you remember that time you took what wasn't yours? You never thought you'd do that. You reached out and put your hand on that did not belong to you. You remember that? God doesn't. Remember the time that you got mad at somebody and cursed and swore and used the name of God in vain? Or took some language that man or beast should not have to hear and only beastly men would ever speak? You remember that time when you, after you said it, you said, I can't believe I said that. I never thought words like that would come out of my mouth. I thought those days were all over. Say, do you remember that time? God doesn't. Remember the time that you went to the house of ill repute? You never thought you'd do that. You walked into the place, rustled some unholy skirt. You remember the guilt you felt when you got out? You remember that night? I was driving down Pacific Avenue in Dallas. Years ago, late at night, I'd gone to the hospital to make a visit about 1 o'clock in the morning. Coming back home to my little town of Garland, Texas, just a few miles from Dallas, on Pacific Avenue, I passed by a little cheap hotel. And I saw a young man get out of his car about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and walk up to the door of that little cheap hotel, and everybody knew that was a place that housed prostitutes. It was in Red Light District. I saw the young man look to his left. I pulled over and watched him. I saw him look to his right. I saw him look to his left again. Look to his right again and reach for the doorknob. And I shouted across the street, "Don't do it, young man! Look up! Thy God seeth thee!" But you remember that night you'd like to forget? You remember that night you'd like to erase from your memory? You remember? God doesn't. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If he walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." What does that mean? That means that when a person receives Christ as Savior, that means that his sins are credited and charged to Jesus Christ. And that means that Jesus stood judgment and paid the penalty for those sins. And that means that God has erased those sins from your record in heaven. I mean, as if they had never been. There's not even a place there that you could tell they've been erased. And you know, you see something erased, you say, "Wonder what was there? Somebody's erased something." That's not what it means. It means that if you looked at the book of God today, and you're God's child, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed you from all sin, you couldn't even see the erased place. It's like it never had been written there. Why? You're justified. That's why. But that isn't all. Not only did God erase it from His book, God erased it from His memory. He doesn't remember that night. I hesitate to say this about God, but God, concerning your sins, is senile. God, concerning your sins, got Alzheimer's disease. God is ignorant about your sins, if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you can make Him ignorant before you leave today by trusting Him as your Savior. You remember the night? Remember that weekend past when you were in the service? Remember? Remember what you did? Remember where you went? Remember? God doesn't. You remember the night you broke your mother's heart? You remember that? God doesn't. You remember that vacation that you'd like to forget, but you can't? Remember it? Remember what you did when nobody was watching? What you read when nobody saw you? The place you went when nobody was there to see you? Remember? Remember? God doesn't. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried, and now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear me? Did you hear? I'm saying God has forgotten. Now the Easter part to that. Now follow me carefully. In the life of the Jew, they had what they called the cleansing ceremony of the leper. In that cleansing ceremony of the leper, they took the leper to the priest, and the priest took two birds. He took one of those birds and killed him. He took the second bird and dipped that second bird in the blood of the first bird, and let that second bird fly up into the sky, never to return again. Now, that is a beautiful symbol of the resurrection of our Lord. Why did that second bird fly up in the sky? I'll tell you why. God was saying, this blood was shed to wash away your sins, and your sins are represented as being
taken away. And as that bird, a symbol, ascends to the sky, it's a picture of the justification of the Christian when his sins are gone and forgiven. And that bird was a picture of Jesus who came out of the grave. Up from the grave he arose, a victor over death, a conqueror over sin, a victor over the grave, and rose. Why? So our sins could be separated from us. That's why. You remember in the economy of the Jews, how once a year they had what they called the scapegoat. Same type of the resurrection picture here. They took two goats. They took one goat and killed him. The Jew would put his hands on the head, or at least the priest would, his hands on the head of that one goat that was killed, and would confess his sins on the head of that goat. And then they would take the blood of the other goat and sprinkle it on the living, take the blood of the dead goat, sprinkle the living goat, and they'd let that living goat go free in the woods. Why? Because that dead goat represented Jesus dying for us, and the goat that went out in the woods never to return represents Jesus being raised for us. And that goat going in the woods was simply saying, your sins are gone. God has accepted not only the living goat as a propitiation, but the dead goat as a propitiation, but the living goat as a memorial that God has forgotten your sins. And on this day we pause to sing the Easter songs. On this day when even a pagan world turns its attention toward Jerusalem. On this day when even the heathen world stops its rock music for a while and stops its pagan life for a while and points its eyes toward a little grave outside the northern wall of the city of Jerusalem. Hey, I've been there. I was there, brother. I can testify he's not there. He's living. He's risen from the dead. The Lord is alive today. The reason he's alive is because he not only died for you on that cross 2,000 years ago, but he rose from that grave so that your sins could be erased not only from the book of God, but from the memory of God Almighty himself. Forget your sins. God has. Forget them. Quit living in guilt. God has forgiven you. That isn't all. God has erased your sins from his record. But that isn't all. God doesn't even know you sin. Did you hear what I said? He doesn't even know. If I went to God today and said, God, did you remember that night old Joe went to certain place? God said, no, I remember. No, loss of memory. Got amnesia. Is that loss of memory? Is that a medicine you take when you got a sour stomach? Milk of amnesia? But anyway, boy, that was a funny one, wasn't it? Thank you for your encouragement. God is senile. Look, folks, this is what the gospel's all about. The gospel is about sin. You don't hear it said much anymore, but the gospel is about sin. Something must be done with the sins of men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Something's got to be done with your sin. That's why joining the church won't do it. That doesn't do a thing to your sin. That's why getting baptized will not do it. That won't do a thing for your sins. That's why turning over a new leaf won't do it. It avoids your sin. But brother, when you come to Jesus Christ, who is God's sacrificial lamb, who on the cross died in your place, and then you stop and realize not only did he die in your place, but he rose in your place. Why? To take your sins away. That's why. So in the sight of Almighty God, you have not even sinned at all. Why didn't somebody shout? Praise God. Hallelujah. Our sins are gone. Doesn't mean we don't sin. It means as God's child, they're beneath the blood. And God doesn't even remember them. When it comes to your sins, God is senile, ignorant, and unaware. Now I speak a moment to the unsaved before I return to the saved. You can have that today. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, if you'll come to Jesus Christ, God will separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Micah chapter 7, verse 19 says if you receive Jesus as your Savior, God will separate your sins as far as the deepest sea. Isaiah 1:18 says if you come to Jesus and accept Him as your Savior, God will wash your sins as white as snow. And Isaiah 38:17 says God will put your sins behind His back. God doesn't remember your sins. Number two, I don't. A man came to me not long ago, last Sunday, I think it was. He said, Brother Hiles, I've come to apologize to you for something I did against you. And I said, son, or sir, don't tell me because I've forgotten. And I don't want to know. But he said, I've just got to apologize. I said, just tell me you're sorry. But don't tell me what for. Because I've forgotten. Now, you know why? Because I don't think about it. You see, your memory is like a record. The more you think about something, the deeper the groove is. The more you think about what somebody has done to hurt you, the deeper the groove is. The more you think about somebody else's sins, the deeper the groove is. And that's why you think about that. But I do not think about that. I think about the good you've done to me, not the bad. I think about the many years of loyalty that you've given me, not just a little while of disloyalty. I think about the whole picture. I'm simply saying, forget your sins of the past. God has, and I have. You college students who've been expelled, I've forgotten. You folks who have confided in me sins that you can't forget, I've forgotten. You'd be surprised if you knew how little I know about what you told me. I'm sure a part of that has to do with my age. But whatever it is, bless God, I've forgotten. You come to me and pour your soul out about some awful thing that you've done, I've forgotten. Why? I don't think about it. Didn't think about it when you left. As you left, I didn't say, there goes a dirty sinner. Boy, what a wicked sinner. No, sir. I said, there goes a man I love with all of my heart. And I thought about how much I love you and not how much you sinned. And I've forgotten. You ones who have hurt me or tried to, I've forgotten. You employees who displeased me from time to time, I've forgotten. You who have been a long way from God in the past, I've forgotten. Why shouldn't I forget? Why should I look at one bad day you've had instead of the hundreds of good days you've had? Why should I look at the one night of sin you've had instead of the hundreds and thousands of nights of righteousness you've had? I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, I know a good deal when I found one, brother. I know if God can forget what I've done, I dead sure can forget what you've done. I've forgotten. And I want to tell you something. You're the loser. You really are. You are the loser. Why don't you forget? Why don't you forget? I say forget your sins. Forget them. You're not serving God faithfully because you're thinking, well, have I forfeited my right to serve God? Won't you try and see? I mean, if you've got a bad leg and you say, can I ever ride a bicycle again? Get on one. Check it out. Can God ever use me again? Try. You'll find out when you find out. But why not? Oh, can God ever use me after I've done what I've done? God doesn't even know what you've done. He's forgotten what you've done. Oh, Brother Hiles, will God ever use me? Go out and knock on some doors. Build a bus route. Build a Sunday school class. Get back busy for God. See if God can use you. Of course He can use you. Of course He can. God has nobody to use but sinners. I don't. Forget your sins. God has. Forget your sins. I have. Forget your sins. You shouldn't remember them. You can't undo them. You know, it's a very popular little plaque you see a lot of places now. A little placard. I love it. It says, today is the first day of the rest of my life. You've seen it everywhere. I love that. I love it. God says, let's start the day. Did you ever play a game and you said, let's play 2 out of 3? Huh? And the fellow won 2 in a row and you said, how about 3 out of 5? And the fellow won the next one, how about 4 out of 7? I've been as high as 101 out of 200. That's what God says. God says, let's try 2 out of 3. If you blow it then, let's start again. Do you know you can start this morning all over again? All over. All over. God says, let's start now. Let's wipe the past clean. God says, I've forgotten what you did. Oh, God, forgive me for what I did. God says, shh, don't tell me I've forgotten. You shouldn't remember. But thinking about how bad you were and think about how wonderful He is. That's what God is saying. See, when you get your mind on how bad you've been, you get your mind off how great He is. Quit thinking about your sin and think about His forgiveness. Quit thinking about your mistake and think about His mercy. Quit thinking about your disgrace and think about His amazing grace. That's what God is saying. God said, forget the things behind you. You can't do a thing about them. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, but what can I do to rectify what I've done?
God's already rectified what you've done. If you're His child, and if you're not His child, listen. You can walk out those doors and eat your Easter lunch today for the first time in your life without one single sin recorded against you and the mind of God, ignorant of everything you've ever done in the past by your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Just like that. Just like that. It sounds too easy. Pull you on how it sounds. Read it and believe it. You know what keeps bringing it to your mind? You know why you remember your sins? The devil brings it to your mind. He's the accuser of the brethren. Satan comes and Satan says, remember what you did? Oh, my, yes. Yeah, you did this and this and this and this. Tell the devil to go on back to hell, leave you alone. I remember the night we voted to start Howells Anderson College. I'll never forget that. I walked in deacon's meeting and those men did not have one idea in the world I was going to recommend we start a college. I'd called a special meeting. We met that night in the fellowship hall instead of the chapel. I don't know why. But they asked, preacher, what is it? And I said, God spoke to me this week in Southern California and told me we're supposed to start a college. Mel Graves stood up. God bless him. One of the best men that ever breathed oxygen is Mel Graves. And Mel Graves stood up and Mel Graves said, Pastor, would you risk your salvation on the fact that God wants us to start a college? I said, yes, I will. He said, I make a motion we start a college. It was seconded. Within 3 minutes after they found out I wanted to start a college, we had a college. Boy, I was happy. I drove home. I got about down here to Sumner Street or May Street and somebody started talking to me. I didn't know about it was in the car. He said, you got a college, have you? I said, hallelujah. Woo! Got a college. He said, where are your buildings? I said, buildings? Yeah. How many buildings you got? Well, I said, zero. He said, interesting. I don't know his name, but he had on a red suit. He had horns on his head and he smelled like smoke. Had a forked tail sticking out. I drove down Columbia. I can tell you where it was. I got about Conkey Street. And he started talking again. He said, how many students you got? Students? Yeah. How many students you got? I said, the number of students equals number of buildings. I got to 165th Street. He spoke again. He said, faculty? How many faculty members you got? I said, equals the students in the buildings. Got out of 169th, and he said, how much money you got? Oh, I said, none. He says, started a college, huh? I said, amen. Hallelujah. I got down between 173rd and 175th Street.
halfway between, right across the street from Columbia Center. I pulled a car over beside the road. I got out. I walked around to the other side. I opened the door. I said, get out.
Out! Out! Get out!
You're going to ride. You take a cab.
Out!
That's what you ought to say this morning. Every time the devil walks up and says to you, how about that wicked life? You say it's under the blood.
Out! Get out! Get out! Get out! It's washed away in the blood of Calvary. Get out! Out!
That's what Easter is all about. Come to God. Say, dear God, I'm sorry. Hear me carefully, I'm through. Dear God, I'm sorry about that sin. And God says, what sin? And I come to you and I say to you, I'm sorry about that sin. And you say, what sin? And then you walk up to me and say, hey, you're talking about a sin I'm supposed to forgive you for. And I say, what sin? What sin? Forget it. God has. Forget it. I have. Forget it. You should. It's a horrible time in a sermon to tell a joke. But I want to tell two. You know them both. The fellow went to the psychiatrist. And he said, Doc, I've got a problem. I've lost my memory. And the psychiatrist said, how long have you had this problem? He said, what problem are you talking about, Doc? That's exactly what I'm preaching this morning. God says, I've forgiven your sins. I say, what? Lord, how long have you been forgiving them? He said, what are you talking about? What sins? Then you heard about the two old men, real old, must have been 61 or older. The two old men, they're 90 years old, they're playing golf. One of them said to the other, said, Joe, I can't see very well anymore. I can't see where I hit the ball. When I knocked the ball down the fairway, I can't follow its flight because I can't see very well. Joe, can you see real well? Yep, Zeke, I can see real well. He said, okay, Joe, would you follow the ball then when I hit it? Yep, I will. He hits the ball, knocks it down the fairway. He says, Joe, did you see it? Yep, I saw it. Where did it go? I forgot. I love it. I love it. The old man lost his memory. He could see. One of them lost his eyesight. One lost his memory. When it comes to my sins, God has lost his eyesight. My sins are erased out of his record book. And then he's lost his memory. He's forgotten my sins. No more, no more. Remembered no more. My sins. Or remembered no more. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. I say to you Christian people this morning, I don't think you ought to make light of what you've done in the past, but bless God, it's time you look toward the future. You can't win a soul yesterday. But you cannot win one tomorrow because you're thinking too much about yesterday. You can't win a victory tomorrow, but you can suffer a loss tomorrow if your mind's on what yesterday, saying, I don't believe what I did yesterday. Well, I think it's going to keep me from doing what I'll do tomorrow. No, it won't. No, it won't. No, it won't. Get up on the bicycle. Try riding it. You'll be amazed how much you can do if you just forget what God has already forgotten. And then bask in the sunlight. His loss of memory. He remembers our sins no more. This morning I address those of you in closing who never have trusted Christ. Easter Sunday is not just a new dress or a new tie or a new suit or a new pair of shoes or a new hat. Easter Sunday is the honest simple truth is this is not the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's the day we just stop to remember. It's not the exact day. He didn't rise from the dead this morning sometime, and last Friday at 3 o'clock was not the minute he died. It's the time set aside by some to remember that he did die, and a time set aside today to remember that he does live, that he did rise. Easter Sunday is a time for you to come to God's house and hear the message of redeeming grace preached, and hear what God has done so your sins can be blotted out of His book. And praise God even more, blotted out of His memory. You say, preacher, how can I get my sins blotted out of God's memory? The minute that you look up and realize that you're a sinner, and that Jesus Christ took upon Himself your sins, and paid the penalty for your sins on the cross, and rose again after 72 hours for your justification. And you say, on that plan, and on that Savior, and that alone, I'm trusting my hope for eternity. That moment when you mean it, God says, what did He do yesterday? What did He do? I don't remember. What did He do day before yesterday? I don't remember. God has blotted your sins from His records and blotted your sins from His memory. Forget your sins of the past. God has. I have. You should. Let us pray.